Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
Welcome to Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Do you
oh,
think
boy.
This could be a new thing for us?
I feel like what we were doing, and again, we didn't discuss this beforehand. I was just kind of following your lead.
Yeah, and it was something that just came to me, I'm going to say, from on high.
Yeah. And, you know, in my philosophy on these things, I mean, I always go back to the big dog's shirts.
Right.
You know, lead, follow, or get out the way.
Yeah, sure.
I choose follow.
Yeah. Well, if you don't, you choose follow.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter that I've got another dog's butt in my face.
Yeah, I was going to say the view never changes.
Mm-hmm. It's now, a nice dog butt.
You know what I always go by. It's a Big Johnson t-shirt.
Oh, sure.
If I could remember what it said on a Big Johnson t-shirt, this reference would be a lot more effective.
So, Jesse, you're always, when you go to Big Johnson, I remember one.
Yeah.
You, when you go to Big Johnson's casino, you're always getting the, hold on.
Yeah, okay.
You lick her in the front and poke her in the rear.
There we go.
At Big Johnson's casino.
That's the kind of high quality wisdom that we look to.
From the outrageous fat guy shirts of the 90s.
I also look to those shirts with geckos on them.
Yeah, sure.
That had something to do with surfing.
Probably. Anyway, so what I gathered from your tone was that this show will now be joined in media res. So it kind of felt to me like you were doing a, oh, hi, I didn't see you standing there. We were just chatting, and now we're welcoming you, the listener, in.
Well, I think it's warmer because this is a conversational show. I don't know if you knew that, Jordan.
Yeah.
This is a conversational program. It's as though the listener is visiting our home.
Right.
Does that make sense? It's as though we're just sitting in front of a warm, crackling fire. You've got a cat on your lap. I've got a dog on my lap. Brian has a third animal on his lap, probably a turtle.
Sure, yeah.
And we're all stroking the animals.
Yeah, we're poking the animals with our erections.
we're calmly petting the animals, something that they would enjoy because we're not animal abusers.
No, of course not.
And we're just enjoying the fire and enjoying what I call fellowship. And the listener is then invited into the fellowship. And it's a sort of – each of us wears a ring. It's called a fellowship of the ring.
I'd watch out for one of those rings.
Okay, fair enough. I just think that the listener, the Jordan Jesse Go listener, and every week on Jordan Jesse Go, we talk about some things. I think the Jordan Jesse Go listener is looking for a certain collegial familiarity that a gentle, warm laugh at the beginning of the show is going to introduce into the proceedings.
Okay.
In a way that our awkward, stilted attempts at broadcasting almost certainly are not.
And I just want to reassure the listener that not only will we welcome you into our home every week,
right,
roaring fire, hot beverage, all that, but we'll only poke you with our erections if we get consent first.
Right? Affirmative consent.
Sure.
That's
which
our
to
rule.
Me is sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
Some
people thank you. No, I'm not. I don't do it for the applause. A second person who's not me is applauding. I just think there's nothing hotter.
Can I tell you one other thing?
Some sweet. Tight consent.
Can I tell you one other thing, Jordan?
Some tight, sloppy consent.
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with this at this point.
So, yeah.
I was definitely comfortable at the beginning, but...
sloppy?
I'm sliding off
board. Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to point out a lot of listeners don't know that we share a house.
Yes, that's true.
It's not...
When we were fighting, we drew a line down the middle. You had to stay on your side, and I had to stay on my side. But then we came back together when I had that baby in the elevator.
Here's the thing, Jordan. My boss was coming over. All you had to do was make a goddamn casserole.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's introduce our guest.
We blew a lot of plot lines on that one episode, by the way.
It's weird
that all those things happened in one episode.
We sure did. I also had my period.
Yeah.
So it was a big one.
It was your first one, so we learned a little something at
the
end.
It was a big one, Jordan. But you know what? It's worth it. And when you're writing a pilot, you have to establish the world.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's the first. You establish the characters. You establish the world. You want a clear and exciting milieu.
And that's why within the span of 20 minutes, you have to have a baby in an elevator.
Right.
Draw a line down the middle of the apartment.
Two different pets. Two different erections.
They're not as different as you might think. They're both white.
Yeah. It's true.
And finally, boss comes over for dinner. Boom, you got a pilot.
Yeah.
We stole it from WKRP, which many people regard as the perfect pilot.
That's true. Good mm-hmm. work.
Thank you.
Good work, Jordan.
What a bad episode.
What are you, a television writer? Okay.
Okay. Well,
should we introduce our guest on the program?
I'd love to.
I am Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm over the moon about this situation.
Me too. I'll see you up there over the moon because that's where I'm headed as well.
Yeah. Who knows where we'll land?
Yeah. Hopefully among the stars. Yeah.
Our guest on the program, one of the stars. In fact, I'm going to go out on a limb. And I don't want you, Jordan, mm-hmm. to tell past guests, Aisha Tyler, Judy Greer, mm-hmm. future guest, Chris Parnell, H. John Benjamin, mm-hmm. that I'm about to say this. And in fact, don't say them that I did say it after I have said it.
Okay. Can I tell that guy from Justified who's on it every now and then?
Yeah. And okay. you can tell the Trailer Park Boys who guest starred one time.
Sure.
I have one favorite character on my favorite television program. That favorite character is Pam. Favorite television program is Archer on the FXX network. Guess who's here? The actress who portrays her on the television program, Archer, Amber Nash.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Amber.
I'm so excited to be here.
We're excited that you're here.
Yeah, we're excited. Let's be honest. This is a bigger reach for us than it is for you.
You know what, guys? I just want to let you know that I have had a baby in an elevator, and I've had my first period.
So wow.
I already feel like I'm fitting right in.
You are at minimum a B-plot.
Yeah.
You might even move up to A-story.
Sure.
If we can get one more exciting thing to happen to you.
You could be recurring on this.
Oh, fancy.
And that's when the real money starts coming
That's
in.
That's right.
Once you start recurring.
That is right.
Do you think you could start an investigation as to who's eating your food out of the fridge?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. She's up. She's boosted.
Now, I just want to pitch you one more.
Okay.
What about you get strung out on pep pills, a la Saved by the Bell?
Why not? Or I could get locked in a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. In a junkyard.
Oh,
right.
I like that.
Remember that deep cut?
And that teaches a lesson, too.
It certainly does.
Stay away from junkyards.
Yeah.
How is it? And look.
What was that? Small Wonder?
No, it was Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster.
Yeah.
Punky Brewster.
We've had a fanciful discussion of an imagined television program on which we're all featured.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wonderful. That's a kind of special bit or shtick that Jordan mm-hmm. Jesse Go listeners love. But my question to you is a sincere one. Was getting locked in refrigerators a major problem in the mid
in
to
America.
Late 1980s?
I think it actually was.
Really?
I think that those ice box style fridges,
yeah.
I think they locked from the inside or something.
And that's why they all have that glow in the dark tab now in case you get put in a refrigerator where you can release it and get out.
Now that's in a trunk.
Yeah,
I've seen that tab
you're right.
In a trunk.
I'm messing with you.
Okay.
Don't try and tell us a trunk is a fridge. I know a trunk's not a fridge.
Amber Nash is here, 3 minutes? She's already pulling my leg. Hey, guess what, Jordan? I like her.
Okay. Watch out, guys.
This is fun. Okay? Amber Nash from our favorite television show.
Woo!
Welcome. You do not live in L.A. You
I
live
do
in
not.
Atlanta.
True.
You're visiting us. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're here doing press.
Yeah.
What sorts of exciting press have you done, you know, leading up to this, the disappointing appearance on Jordan Jesse Go?
I gotta say, this has been the most fun so far.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, I had a great, and I mean,
Reuters phoner?
There's so much exciting stuff happening. I'm doing other stuff out here, too. You know, just like general actory stuff.
Right.
Okay.
But I gotta tell you, Los
Angeles. Like Shakespeare in the Park?
Yeah, of course, yeah. And a little bit of dinner theater.
Oh, sure, like some mystery stuff. Okay.
Yep. I'm working on my tight five stand-up.
Oh, wow. So you're
I'm really busy. I'm really busy.
So I got to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to make it out to the dinner theater this year.
It's okay.
Don't worry, Jordan. You can catch her on the Ed Asner theater cruise.
Just want to know.
I have performed on a cruise ship.
Who done it? Who done it?
It might have been an audience member.
What?
Crazy.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
Can I have some more bread?
I have worked at dinner theater as well.
Okay. Let's start with cruise ship.
Okay. Yes.
What kind of cruise ship were you on?
I worked on the Norwegian Cruise Lines.
I think that's a relatively classy cruise line, is it not?
I think so. It's the only one I've ever been on, actually. I've never actually been on a cruise as a passenger, only as a worker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, you were down in steerage.
You know,
with the
I
other
was.
Immigrants.
And I'll tell you, the craziest thing is the crew bar is fucking crazy.
There's like, a bar just for the crew?
Yes. And it's like walking into an alternate dimension. It's like the bar. Guys, I always am a little bit worried when I tell people this, but I'm not really a nerd. Like, I'm not up on nerd culture. So I'm going to make a reference that
I don't fully understand.
I
fucking hate geeks. I'm so sick of those Poindexters. Star Wars.
I love to pound geeks.
So what's the bar too. With the thing that's got three boobs and all the weirds?
Total Recall?
It's the bar in Total Recall.
I don't know what the bar in Total Recall is called.
That's the crew bar on a cruise ship.
And God, I want people on Twitter to tell me. Oh, please, all of you, tell me what the bar in Total Recall was. I want to know.
Haven't we got a new person we're directing tweets at now?
We should have one. Okay.
I think we figured one out, but I've completely forgotten what it is.
If you want to tell me what the bar in Total Recall is,
hit up at Chuck Woolery on Twitter.
Let him know.
Make sure you do it. 2 and 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
You felt like you were in some sort of futuristic bar where you could see three breasts on one woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know there's no laws on cruise ships?
You know, there's also morgues. Every cruise ship has to have a morgue because people die out at sea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like there was this one man that would always be.
It's very dangerous to motorboat a three boobed woman.
when you're in international waters,
sure,
they gotta keep you somewhere.
No laws.
We had for a couple of years. MaximumFun.org had a cruise.
Okay.
Boatparty.biz, and it was a joy. It was a stand-up comedy thing. And music as well. Lots of great our friend John Darnielle and Mountain Goats. So lots of great people were there. It was a wonderful time. And people would say to me, oh, you're doing a cruise. Haven't you ever read that David Foster Wallace thing? I had read that David Foster Wallace thing. I was fine with it. David Foster Wallace is a supposedly fun thing I'll never do again. He's wrong, by the way. Actually, cruises are pretty fun. But I had read that, and, you know, David Foster Wallace was grumpy about various things, made up various quotes, had a lot of long sentences, and overall was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. The real thing to read if you do not ever want to go on a cruise is our friend John Ronson wrote a piece about cruises that's just about unexplained murders and disappearances.
Yeah.
And how there's no law. They're all like all cruise ships are float under the flag. Sure. Of weird countries that have no law enforcement, and certainly no law enforcement that's free to get in a boat and go meet another boat and investigate a possible murder. So it's like they're like Bahamian or something.
Yeah.
Like the Bahamian police force is just 40 guys in the Bahamas, and they're pretty focused on the Bahamas.
Sure.
Things happening there. So like if you want to murder someone,
they're just too busy with all those mamas.
Just being
exactly. Bahama mamas.
Yeah, exactly. No drama, those Bahama mamas.
Thank God, I fucking hate drama.
I know, I hate drama.
I love hikes. And I hate drama. I love hikes. There's one thing.
You can basically push anyone off of a cruise ship to their death with no repercussions.
You know what else you can do?
Eat as much shrimp as you want.
Yeah, in a bathrobe. People go to the buffet in fucking bathrobes. I'm not joking. People are disgusting. We all know that human beings are disgusting. And when you put a bunch of them together in one place out at sea, it's just like, you're right. Like, all bets are off. Like, anything can happen. People run on the treadmill without shoes on. Like, what is going on here, people? Like, the chocolate fountain is just disgusting. They can only do it once a week because people fucking flip out because they have this giant like buffet of chocolate and people lose their goddamn minds.
So what was your job on the cruise? Was this like a improv comedy thing?
Okay. I was actually with Second City, so I was performing reviews.
How were those cruise audiences?
They were great. I mean, you know, they're excited. They probably would not go see a Second City show on their own or don't live in a place where they can go see one.
Right.
So, they were always really great. And then once you did a show, though, you're stuck on a boat with these people for 5 more days.
Right.
And you're like a celebrity all of a sudden because you did one show that everybody on the boat saw.
Sure.
So then, you know, you're getting hounded by people.
And I want to know more about this crew bar. Like,
okay.
you describe it as some sort of sci-fi nightmare
Is it underground?
What about it?
There's no windows.
Okay.
Because it's in the, like...
It's in the belly of the ship.
Yeah, there's like a secret levels of the ship that people who have paid to be there cannot go to, right?
Yeah, and it's like...
You have to have renounced your passport to go down there.
Right, and then the people, the crew that are down there aren't allowed to go to any other bar on the ship because they can't be up with the passengers.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's like this room in the belly of the ship, and there's like plexiglass walls, and you can smoke in there, and everybody does, and there's hundreds of people crowd, and people on cruise ships, people are from all over the world.
Yes.
There's people from the Philippines, there's people from Russia, there's people from everywhere. And so it's just this like packed, smoky, crazy place. There's this Russian man that was like the guy that would basically put the giant anchor down. That was like his job on the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, on the ship, not in the bar.
Not in the bar.
Like, I thought it was like a regular. Everybody's like, Yevgeny! And he comes in and slams an anchor down and puts his hands up, and everybody lifts him up and gives him a free beer.
I wish. But he would walk around on his hands all the time. That's just one of the things he did because he had incredible upper body strength.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to work the anchor.
Right. Work the anchor.
Sure.
You know what? You always got to work the anchor and don't forget about the balls.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the anchor was the balls, but maybe the anchor's the taint?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it's a tortured metaphor.
Let's talk about ship as penis.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the mast is the shaft.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
So in this bar, plexiglass walls,
yeah.
Hundreds of people from all over the world, but all drifters.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to be. Most of these people work on 9-month contracts.
Men and women without a country.
Right, because you know, after you've been out at sea for 9 months, you go home, it's like, you don't still have your apartment you've been Airbnb-ing in the Philippines. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you don't...
It's now a prison run by the secret police.
Right, and so you just sign on for another contract. So most of these people don't have homes.
Yeah.
And you go to the crew bar because it's cheap. So,
wait, they still charge you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. Like, we were allowed to be in, like, the passenger area so we could drink at other bars, but it's too expensive. It's like $12 for a drink, and so the money you're making
boy.
On the ship, you
sure.
spend drinking.
Just dumping right into your face.
Yeah.
How much does a drink cost underground?
Oh, like $2 for a beer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a good
It's like
value.
A college
yeah,
bar.
Right? That's really, really nice.
Yeah. Do they pay the people that are under... These lesser people that live underneath the ground.
Yeah, the underground.
These mole
people.
Folks.
The sure. chuds
yeah.
of the ship.
Ship chuds.
Yeah, yeah, ship chuds.
These ship chuds, these.
Hold on, I think I found our metaphor. You got to work the chuds.
Oh, yeah.
The
that's
chuds
great.
Are the balls of the ship.
These yeah. cabin dwelling humanoid underground dwellers.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Do they get paid minimum wage, or do they just get paid? Are they essentially indentured servants?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but yeah. I think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think it's a great thing, but I think a lot of times it's like they're still making more money than they would in the countries they come from, and so
right.
they're sending because they have no living expenses, barely. So they're just sending all that money home. So I do think it's somewhere in the middle.
Do you when you do this? Because we had a listener actually. Years ago when we did the cruise, there was a listener who was a cruise comic.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a fan of the show. And when he heard we were doing the cruise, he looked at his schedule and he was actually on one of our cruises, which
awesome.
Was great. He was a really lovely guy. And he very kindly offered to do a how to get the most out of your one day in the Bahamas seminar for mm-hmm. our people. It was really great. And that guy... He basically does this 6 months at a time.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes back and forth between Miami and the Bahamas or whatever it was. Bermuda, maybe it was. Anyway, it goes back and forth and, you know, on these 5-day cruises or whatever they are indefinitely. When you were doing it, was it like I'm going for a week or was it I'm going for half a year?
Like for myself?
Yeah.
So I was on... Most of the entertainers would do a 4-month contract, which is quite a long time, especially
yeah, yeah.
if you have a regular life.
Sure.
And the shit, like the passengers would be on for a week. So it was a week long cruise. So every week you'd see the same stuff. But I was on only for a month because I was filling in for somebody. So it was almost the perfect amount of time. Like
yeah.
4 months, you start to go crazy. 1 month, you're like, this is all still kind of cool. I've only been to Anchorage 3 times.
I still enjoy shrimp.
Yeah, I do. I still do. Even to this day.
Now
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
To this day,
yeah.
it's 2017 now. I don't know what year it was when you were doing this. Do you still reflexively ask for an audience suggestion anytime you see an all-you-can-eat soft-serve ice cream machine?
No, but I can imagine that's pretty scary if that had happened.
Yeah.
You also said you did a little dinner theater.
I did.
Tell us about that.
So there's this place in Atlanta that actually, for an Atlanta actor back in the day, was like the best gig you could get. Like, it was very lucrative. And it's a dinner theater where audience members come in and everybody in the audience. I've never been to another dinner theater, so I can't compare it to anything. It's the only one I've ever been to.
I've been to Medieval Times and the Pirate Medieval Times.
There's a pirate medieval time?
It's called Pirates.
1, 2, 3, Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
It's called Pirates, a dinner adventure.
Where is it? I want to go there.
It is a block away from Medieval Times.
Do they just give you weevil-infested heart attack?
Yeah. You have to eat limes so you don't get scurvy.
So you know, like, when you go to one of those things, you're like, you know who you can go with. Like, you got some friends that are way too cool for that shit. But you got some friends that are like, man, if you're up for it, you can have a fucking blast. If you're willing to pay $15 for a beer and just have some fun, like, it can really be fun. Mm-hmm. So that's how this dinner theater was. Like, you just got to be in for it.
Jordan and our friend Chris Fairbanks were kind enough to go with me to the arena football game once to see the LA Kiss, the arena football team owned by the band Kiss.
Oh, my God.
And so Jordan is, needless to say, one of those guys.
Yeah. Like, you're up
who is,
for it.
As we say, DTC.
Sure. DTC?
Down to Clown?
Oh, Down to Clown. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So, yeah.
I thought you meant down to Cunnilingus.
He's down to Cunnilingus, too, if it comes to it. You know?
You never know.
Listen, let's just have fun. Let's just hang out.
Yeah.
Why do we have to? Let's see where this goes.
I agree. I don't think we should put labels on this.
Oh, God, I hate labels. Oh, if there's one thing I hate more than labels, it's drama.
Oh, I hate drama!
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Too committed. Jesse actually knocked over his microphone and threw off his headphones. That's how much he hates drama. So.
Yes.
I would like to back up.
A drink to throw in my
face. I would like to back up a tad. You said it's one of the best gigs for an actor in Atlanta.
Yeah.
What are the other gigs for an actor in Atlanta?
Well, now it's a little bit
Wolf
different.
You can play Wolf Blitzer on CNN.
Sure.
True. But actually, there's a huge, guys, in Los Angeles, all the work that's leaving here is going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
There's so much happening in Georgia. Like, so many movies were shot there.
You make
there
all
last
the
year.
Fast and Furious movies out there, right?
They make just about everything out there, as far as I can tell. And a lot of TV shows, and not just The Walking Dead. Like, there's so many things that are shooting there. It's crazy.
Yeah. You know, interesting, you know, our friend Don Glover, he makes the show Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That show is actually shot in Edmonton.
Sure, yeah.
Tax credit.
Edmonton.
Edmonton tax. For Atlanta.
Tax credit.
My husband's actually from Edmonton, Alberta.
Oh.
Yeah.
I
never hear anybody make a reference to Edmonton. That's why it's so interesting.
They have a mall there.
They have a giant mall.
Yeah.
Is a coveted first job for an Atlantean actor Zombie on Walking Dead?
Now, I want to be clear.
They're from the Lost City of Atlantis.
We're talking about an Atlantean actor.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an Atlantean actor, Aquaman.
Yeah, I mean, that's ideally.
It pretty much begins and ends with Aquaman.
Yeah.
Or that new live-action Little Mermaid they're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe. Could be. Okay. I mean, there's also tons of theater in Atlanta, too. So there's, it depends on what you're into.
Yeah.
Whether you're doing theater or comedy or you want to be in movies. But lots of people's, like, moms will be extras on Walking Dead. Like, they need so many zombies. And the crazy thing is, this is so funny, is that now the show's been going on for a while. So the people have been zombies for a long time. So they need zombies to get thinner and thinner. They're looking for, like, really thin actors in Atlanta, which has some of the best southern food you can find.
Yeah.
So it was actually pretty hard. They had, like, this call out for, like, emaciated actors to play zombies.
Hey, maybe you should place a call to hello, West Los Angeles on the line. We're eating air sandwiches over here, okay? Okay, Jordan.
Yeah. So what was the topic of your dinner theater play?
Oh, man, there's so many. It's always I've done a few. So this is one of the great things about this place is we did one that was like a Dancing with the Stars spoof.
Okay.
And
that's funny that they were parodies.
Oh, they all are.
Yeah.
And the title, get ready for this, guys.
Can we guess?
Please.
Okay. Funny take on the title, Dancing with the Stars.
At Jordan, a dinner theater.
I am going to give you a second to think about this. And while you're thinking about it, I'm going to tell our audience, our at-home audience, who can only hear what's going on, that Amber Nash gave us such a, let's see what you'll say, take, that it is truly mesmerizing.
It's really
genuinely,
nice, yeah.
I'm talking about not just chin on closed hand, extended finger and thumb, stroking thoughtfully with a laser-like focus
it was,
on Mr.
It
Morris.
It was such an extreme take. It was like you are the fun adult in a Disney Channel show.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
It's called Commitment.
Commitment.
Now, remember,
make
this
a
is
choice.
A dinner theater. It's a murder mystery dinner theater.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So is that what's a murder mystery and a parody of Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I was going to say,
like, what if Jerry Rice got murdered?
I was going to say Dancing with the Farts, but now I don't know what to think. I think it was called. Dancing with the Corpses.
And I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Stabbing with the Stars.
Fuck. Oh,
yeah, that's
better.
That's better. That's better. What
Guys,
was it actually?
It was called Dancing and Dying with the Stars.
Oh!
That is less clever
so
than our version.
I know.
You get both.
Yeah.
That's right. And let me tell you,
it's a title and a value proposition.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. You know that one of the hosts of Dancing with the Stars is Tom Bergeron. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you guess this too. So imagine what Tom Bergeron's character might have been called in this show if not Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bludgeonon.
Oh, these are still going to be better than what it actually was.
I'm going to say Bomb Bergeron.
You know,
my vision of this is more
bombs.
Of a war-torn tragedy situation.
I like the idea
it's set
of a
in Northern
mystery.
Ireland during the Troubles.
Somebody's got to find out who was killed by this bomb. It was his name was Tom Burger and Fries.
Oh my god, that sucks so bad.
Oh, it was a
Tom Burger
show.
And Fries.
That's what you get when
really
you let
good.
A dog write jokes.
So who did you play? Bill Nye the Science Guy? Yeah.
Well, it's only two actors that play all the characters. So
really?
I played lots of different characters, but honestly I don't remember because
how many
so
hats
long.
Did you have?
Lots of wigs.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of wigs.
Cool.
And ball gowns, because, you know, you got to have dancing outfits on.
No, you have to. So you did you have to, how many different styles of dance did you have to do?
None, because the director was like, we know Amber can't dance, and this will be a nightmare. There was another show I did there that I had to sing in, and they were just like, you are terrible. I had to do like the Mayberry show. What's it called?
Mayberry?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, I
Andy
don't know.
Griffith.
Okay.
The Andy Griffith show. What was this? What was the actor that played his?
Ron Howard?
No. His
Don Knotts.
Don Knotts, yeah. He had to do a Don Knotts impersonation at one point.
You did?
Yeah, and it was terrible.
Ron Howard was on that, right?
Yeah, he was Opie.
He was the child.
Yeah,
thank
he
you.
Was Opie Taylor.
Went on to direct Frost Nixon.
Oh.
That's a fun fact.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Interesting. I did not know
thank
that.
Thank you. I'm the king of movie trivia.
Oh, you really are? I don't. Amber, when you came in here, did you think that you were sitting with the king of movie trivia?
I had no idea.
It's true.
I had no idea.
Hey, Jordan.
What?
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
You know the famous movie monster E.T. from the movie E.T.?
Of course. I'm the king of movie trivia.
Only the king of movie trivia would know this. E.T., and this is kind of a challenge to Jordan, Amber.
Okay.
What does it stand for?
Whoa, who knows that?
What
sure.
does it stand for? E.T., the monster from the movie E.T., directed by Steven Spielberg.
Well, again, I think that they do eventually reveal what E.T. stands for, but it's not something you can get on a current version of the film. There's a laser disc out of E.T.
Oh, really?
Put out in 1993, and it's just it's the only version of the film. To me,
to you, Jordan?
To me, it's the only version of the film.
To you, the king of movie trivia?
To me, it's the only version of the film.
All right.
I mean, I care about weird stuff like aspect ratio.
Right.
Sorry, that makes me a little bit of a geek.
Yeah.
I love aspect
sorry,
ratio.
Sorry, Amber, I know that you're
I know
not
that you
geek.
Hate geeks, but I'm a big geek.
And I'm kind of a butch jock, so
sure.
I like pounding geeks, so
yes, jocks right. love to call themselves butch. I'm a real butch.
Right
I'm a
now.
Real bear. I'm a real bear of a jock.
Right now, all I can think about is pounding geeks.
Yeah.
Ooh, Four Eyes, I'm going to get you.
So Steven Spielberg said in an interview that you can only see on the Laserdisc, released in 1993, is
Steven
E.T.
Spielberg,
stands for even taller because of the scene where he stretches his neck up.
Got it.
Even taller.
Wow.
I remember that.
King of movie trivia.
He stretches his neck to eat those Skittles he loves.
That's the one.
Wow.
King of movie trivia.
King of trivia. The K of T, my friend. Mm-hmm. The K of T. Okay, look.
Okay.
It's Max Fun Drive time. So let's take a quick break.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a second with more Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hey, Jordan, what time is it?
It's the Max Fun Drive time.
This is my favorite time.
Time of the drive.
This is what they call the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, that is, yeah, when that song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Some think it's about Christmas.
They're wrong.
Those people are chumps.
They're dead wrong.
Those
are
probably chumps.
They're probably Jewish or something, don't even celebrate Christmas, don't know what Christmas is.
Yeah.
It's about the Max Fun Drive.
It's about the Max Fun Drive, where you can donate to support this show, to all the other shows on MaximumFun.org, and you can get a bunch of cool shit.
Yeah, I think because we don't really talk most of the year about the fact that this show and all the shows at MaximumFun.org are supported by voluntary donations. But in fact, there are literally tens of thousands of people across this great nation who support MaximumFun.org voluntarily, given a few bucks a month. And that's what keeps the lights on here. Like literally 75-80% of the money that pays for this show and all of the shows in Maximum Fun comes from folks like you who listen to the show and love it and donate to support it.
It's really terrific, and there's a lot of great people who work for Max Fun. And, you donating makes sure they get paid.
Yeah, this is literally the 12 days out of the year that we ask for your support, and it's really easy to support Maximum Fun. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/donate. That's MaximumFun.org/donate. We have donation levels ranging from $5 a month to $200 a month. And what is really important to me, and I think probably to you as well, is not so much the amount of money that you support us with, but that you support us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even if you just give $5 a month, it's really, really helping out. You get a bunch of cool, cool bonus content that I think we'll talk about a little bit later. And definitely helps make sure that these shows keep coming. It's awesome. It's less than your Netflix and your Hulus and your Amazons. And hopefully you get as much entertainment out of Maximum Fun as you do out of those things. It's less expensive, and it matters a lot more.
Yeah, I think we are unusual in that part of our business model is giving you everything for free first, then asking you for money afterwards in retrospect.
So you can definitely keep listening without donating, but the reason that we do these shows is the people who donate. So, a big thank you if you've done it already, and if you haven't done it already, consider it. Go over there to MaximumFun.org/donate and learn about all the cool stuff you can get.
Our goal for the Max Fun Drive this year, Jordan, 10,000 new and upgrading donors.
It's ambitious. I think we can do it.
Last year, our goal was 5,000. Mm-hmm. We blew past it.
Yeah.
We've added 8 new shows in MaximumFun.org.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the year that we make it to 10,000. I genuinely believe we can do this. And I say this as someone who in the past has had to swim in MacArthur Park Lake and buy a boat on Craigslist, then record an episode of this show on that boat.
Then leave it out in the water and put up on Craigslist that there's a free boat and a weirdo comes and gets it.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully we've got something cool like that in the hopper for this year. Something that maybe we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah.
MaximumFun.org/donate. It definitely makes a huge, huge difference. And just $5 a month keeps the lights on here.
Yeah. Our friend John Hodgman from the Judge John Hodgman podcast always says, don't do it. Do it. And I think that's the take home message. Like we can only continue to do this if you actually take 30 seconds out of your day to go to MaximumFun.org/donate and type in your credit card number. And that is like what allows this to happen. It's not about a huge sacrifice out of your budget. You can find a level that you can afford comfortably. What it's really about is you saying like, hey, this stuff matters to me and I would like to see things that, I would like to see more of this in the world. Like, I would like to see – this is the kind of thing that I want entertainment to be.
Yeah, and I think the analogy that works best for me, if you're like not used to donating to stuff, like maybe you're not somebody who donates to NPR or PBS or whatever, is that like you if you think it's a reasonable thing to do to tip a bartender a dollar a drink, or you know, your barista on the way out of your coffee place, why not throw a buck a show to your podcasters? It definitely helps us a lot, and yeah, and I don't think it'll take that much out of your bottom line. A buck-ish a show. Let's say $1.25 a show, and we're super, super happy about it.
I also want to mention one other thing, which is I think that sometimes folks think that when they support Maximum Fund, what they're paying for is this kind of giant administrative structure and or filling a money pit in my house with gold bullion.
Right.
And in fact, what happens is when you go to MaximumFund.org/donate and you choose the level at which you want to donate, there is a part of the page where you simply check off the boxes for the MaximumFund.org shows that you listen to. And a lot of Max Fund shows are produced independently. Actually, this show is produced independently of Maximum Fund. Mm-hmm. This show is a partnership between Jordan and I, and the two of us pay Brian to produce it.
Yeah.
And essentially what happens is your $10 a month, a percentage of it, about a quarter of it, goes to keeping the lights on at the network and so on and so forth. The rest of it goes directly to the shows that you listen to. So this is, you are really directly supporting My Brother and Me. You really are directly supporting Minority Corner. You're really, really directly putting money in the pockets of all of these hosts of shows that you care about and producers of shows that you care about. I mean, like, this year, I really want Beef and Dairy Network to get rich off of that fucking amazing show. Like, that show is so wonderful and magical, and, like, I want him to get all the money in the world. And Maximum Fund's role in all of this is facilitating all these independent voices to be able to make this part of their lives. Like, for some people, it's a full-time part of their life. Travis McElroy's a full-time podcaster these days. For some people, it's a part-time part of their life, but it's a part-time part of their life that they've been able to carve out because they're earning money doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely most of the people who do shows like this one, it's, you know, it is not how they, you know, put food on their table and rent over their head and food in their pet bowl, but it's like a part of it. And I think that because people go and donate, they can say to themselves, all right, this is still worth doing. This, you know, this is time I should be spent podcasting and not time I should spend driving an Uber or riding a Pilot or something else. So, yeah, you are, I think when you donate, you're saying, hey, thanks for making time to make this show. I appreciate it. Please keep doing it.
By the way, the only two legal business activities in the city of Los Angeles are driving an Uber and riding a Pilot.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like for me personally, like coming in doing Jordan Jesse Go every week is my favorite time in the entire week. And apologies to my wife and children for saying that. But it's true. It's like the 2 hours of my life that I look forward to the most. And I know, and I am so grateful to my friend Jordan, who has had such extraordinary success in his chosen work as a comedy writer, that he takes time out of this really demanding job to make this show. And the reason that I know that the reason that Jordan's able to do that is because it is an actual professional pursuit. That through all these years, it has been a real life job for him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that gives him... that gives him what he needs to go to our friend Joe Randazzo, the head writer of At Midnight, and say, hey, I need to find 2 hours in my week that I can consistently show up for something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think if people didn't donate to stuff like this, that, you know, a podcast would be something that people treated like a kickball team or a bar trivia league, something they did when they had time.
Yeah, we would be drunk while we were doing it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think because, you know, because people donate, the show can get made on a regular basis, and yeah, and people can make it a priority in their lives.
Yeah, and that's true. You know, that's true for my NPR show Bullseye as well. You won't hear me pitching on the air on Bullseye this year because my NPR contract prohibits it. But the money that lets us make Bullseye comes from MaximumFund.org donors. Don't be mistaken. And I couldn't be more grateful that I work for you and that I don't work for advertisers or sponsored content makers or the government or whoever else, that I don't live grant to grant. The fact that you guys go to MaximumFun.org/donate and support us is absolutely magical to
me. Well,
I
do have a feeling that NPR is only going to get richer in the coming years. So...
Yeah, well, there's the filthy lucre for public broadcasting that's currently racing through Congress.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to Amber Nash. Your job is to go to MaximumFun.org/donate. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amber Nash. Good time, gal.
It's a fun nickname. Guys, great news.
Oh, my gosh. I love great news.
Now, Jordan, I know that you know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Amber, I know that you know tons.
Oh, gosh. You don't know the half of it.
It just so happens my daughter, Grace, is 5 years old in kindergarten, knows everything.
Okay.
A lot of people would not expect that coming from a five-year-old, but she's learned a lot.
Do you say things to her like you're an old soul?
Yeah, she is.
I like it when adults do stuff.
She's always whittling, right? And staring off into the middle distance.
Yeah.
She's
really into birding.
Mm-hmm.
The movie Shaq is based on her. The Shaq is right. Have you guys seen that movie?
Wait, I think Shaq is a basketball player.
This is the movie.
Are you thinking of the movie Inside the NBA on TNT?
30 for 30. No.
So the Shaq, from what I understand, is a movie where the human from Avatar dies and visits a magical shack where God, the three parts of God,
right,
the Trinity, are played by three different actors.
All three Samuel L. Jackson,
in different fun wigs. And then it's one of these faith-based movies that they try and like rally churches to go
like
to,
like a
right?
Kirk Cameron produced thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little slicker than that, and I think it has some actual good actors in it.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's my understanding about The Shaq.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's all.
Is that what?
That is the reference I was making.
If you could play God, the Son, or the Holy Spirit.
Boy.
Which would you choose?
It's got to be the Holy Ghost, baby.
Yeah, I'm ghosting too. Boo.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he's a fun one, right?
Yeah, he's always getting up in people's business.
Yeah, you never know what he's going to
do.
He's going
to be those crazy dances.
He's a real prankster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Chains rattle.
My five-year-old Grace.
Candles float.
My five-year-old recently. Okay, so she is really into books, but not. I don't. Like, she sort of likes reading a book with me, like reading a story, like, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
is she into chapter books yet? Like, is she a big reader? Mm.
She doesn't. Her own reading is only just beginning. She's in kindergarten.
And so I don't understand children's ages or milestones.
Right. So I think she is just learning.
Me either.
To
My
read.
Next question was going to be, can she walk yet? Are they walking at five?
she's just starting to learn to read.
Okay.
So she can read words and stuff.
Right.
But that's about it.
But she's not
going to
sit down by herself in a corner and read a book.
No. But she's very interested in books because for some reason she figured out what money was. Mm-hmm. And then she figured out she wanted.
Well, you always put her down in front of Jim Cramer, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I need those picks.
Yeah.
She figured out what money was.
Okay.
And then she figured out that Dad goes to the flea market to buy things to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a little antique shop online.
Oh.
And so she figured that out. And so she decided to open a bookstore.
Great.
So far, the customers are only myself and my wife.
Okay.
Her mother. But she was recreating completely. And God forbid you interrupt her while she's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Recreating completely books that already existed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she's also making her own product.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
I had a little bookmaking phase as a kid, and they were all about dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
And what they would be on one page was I would draw the dinosaur, and then I would look up the dinosaur in an encyclopedia and just copy down as much as I could fit on the page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about where Grace is at.
Mm-hmm.
She also
Those were eventually made into the hit film Jurassic Park. I still live off those residuals.
Congratulations.
Wow. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow.
And people do not create climate change. Is that right, Michael
yes,
Crichton?
That's true. I'm both dead and a climate change denier.
I will say this. My wife, mm-hmm. Who hosts the podcast One Bad Mother on this very network, she and her co-host Biz Ellis wrote a book mm-hmm. that we just got copies of that everyone should mm-hmm. rush to Amazon and buy. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's just coming out now. We just got copies yesterday, and Grace, my daughter, asked my wife for a copy of the book, which was really sweet. Mm-hmm. Like, it was sort of like, what will she think about this? You know, what is this? But she asked her for a copy, and my wife inscribed it to her and gave it to her. And then she opened a bookstore to sell it.
Mm, that's clever. That's
story.
Clever.
Yeah. But anyway, I brought a book that my daughter wrote this week.
Oh, boy.
It was probably her most ambitious original work.
Okay. How much dinosaur information are we getting out of this?
Now, what's weird is she had previously billed herself as a paleontologist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She would introduce, "Hi, I'm Grace. I'm a paleontologist." Mm-hmm. Paleontologists are out, Batgirl is in.
Okay.
So now she says, "Hi, I'm Batgirl."
Okay.
Okay.
She is obsessed with getting a bat motorcycle for her birthday.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
And she needs to save. The other reason she needs to sell books is to save to buy herself a bat motorcycle.
Oh. Well, that's good. At least she knows that, you know, you don't just get things for free.
Right.
Exactly. So this book is called.
Because she's the commissioner's daughter.
And I want to emphasize, this is the name that she herself chose. Mm-hmm. It's called Grace Knows Everything mm-hmm. by Grace. Mm-hmm. The first page, the headline is Rules. That's spelled R-O-L-L-S, or Rolls. The first rule is...
You're going to be reading this at her wedding. We all know that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
I've already,
unless there's a better one coming.
I've already had this book bronzed.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
The first rule, don't poop in the bath.
Mm-hmm. Don't talk about Grace Club.
The second rule, don't stay in the house.
Wow.
Oh.
I guess that's about us trying to get her out the door, get her to do stuff.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep. Or is it like when I was a kid, my mom would be like, "Get outside, go play outside."
Yes.
You know, maybe it's one of those things.
The second page, the headline is Women's March.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
My daughter went to the Women's March with my wife. And it says, "At the Women's March, be kind."
Ah. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, it really is.
And do not poop at the Women's March. No. It's sort of implied.
Are there pictures that are going along with these?
This is text only.
Text only, okay.
Yeah. Next page, pizza. Sort of encyclopedia style book.
Mm-hmm. It's all
alphabetical so far.
Pizza.
Maybe it's not.
Pizza is for eating.
Okay.
Not for, does she get in trouble for like playing with her food?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Next page is stapler. Be careful mm-hmm. with them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I've had a couple stapler accidents in my day.
Yeah. Who hasn't?
It can be tough.
I poked myself in the finger in, I'm going to say, freshman year of high school with a staple that I was trying to fix or something to impress a girl.
Oh, she had a clogged stapler.
It was Jennifer Tanaka's stapler.
Step aside, honey. That's what you get for trying to mansplain staplers.
I know.
Do you think that maybe she stapled those pages together before she started writing the book, and that's where that one came from?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. This next page is called How Money Came Here at First.
Hmm.
People didn't want to use gold, so they used money.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, yeah, that's accurate.
The next page is called Babies.
Okay.
It says, some babies don't only drink breast milk. They also drink formula.
Oh, because some babies have allergies.
That's scientific. Seeds and plants is the next page.
Wow.
Seeds and plants. A seed turns into a plant with water.
Wow. That's also very
useful.
All this is airtight.
I mean, this is useful not just for me, but if there was a catastrophe on Earth, I didn't know how to turn a seed into a plant.
Oh, yeah.
I'd look back at this book. And
luckily,
you'd probably find a society somewhere where people didn't know about agriculture and were still pooping in the house.
Yeah.
It's because this book was burned in the Great Calamity.
The Great Book Fire. Yeah,
yeah.
Next page is called ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the alphabet.
Okay. Well,
well the alphabet, the lyrics of the alphabet song. It's at the bottom here. It says, "Now I know my ABCs."
Uh-huh. Yeah, just in case you know, it was found by somebody that didn't understand the English alphabet.
This could be the new Rosetta Stone. Have we thought about shooting this into space somehow?
Yeah,
or putting
I think
this
we
on some
put
sort
this
of
on
golden,
a gold record.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, along with Johnny
vinyl.
B. Goode on one side and this on the other side. Yeah. And give it to old Voyager.
Yeah. Sorry, Mozart. You got the boot.
And finally, and I know that you guys may think you know other things, but the truth is this is all knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grace knows everything.
Yeah.
It's on the front, so.
The final page is sharpening pencils.
Mm-hmm.
Says, and this is, and I don't know, you guys don't look like you're taking notes, but you might think about it.
Okay.
I see Daniel is taking notes. Thank you, Daniel, on the board.
I'm actually recording on my phone. I'm just taking like a voice memo. Email this to myself later.
Put the pencil in the sharpener and spin.
Wow.
Boy. Yeah.
Wow.
Are you worried that Hodgman will sue her for stealing his thing?
Yeah, she's working on a new book. It's called Vacation Land.
Okay.
It's about her summer house in Maine.
I mean, obviously, I think Grace improved upon it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think you guys might have to work this out in court.
Here's the honest truth, Jordan.
Yeah.
I think she's headed for stardom, and you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Totally
no, I
agreed.
Mean, yeah. I mean, I also like that she is learning that to succeed in, you know, entertainment publishing, you got to be a little ruthless.
Yeah.
If you got to stick one between Hodgman's shoulder blades, sometimes that's what you got to do, you know?
I also think it's ballsy that she seemingly stapled all the pages together first before she started writing. So
yeah.
She decided how many pages it was going to be before she even put pencil to construction paper.
Yeah.
She keeps it all up there in her head like a professional gambler.
Yeah.
Like Rain Man mm-hmm. from the movie Rain Man. He's got all kinds of knowledge in his head.
Yeah.
Like Matt Damon from that movie about math.
Oh, yeah.
He's got all those numbers in his head.
Sure.
Which one was that?
The Bourne Identity.
The Bourne Identity, starring Jason Bourne as Matt Damon.
Mm.
Look out, here comes Ben Affleck. He's friends with you.
And he's getting help for his drinking problem.
Where'd the two of you meet? The beautiful men friendship area?
It's Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Otherwise known as the beautiful men friendship area.
Do you think they're friends with Marky Mark?
I mean, they've got, yeah, they think they have little Boston parties.
Do you think there's a part of Boston?
I think there's like a, you know, how like bars will be the blank bar. Like, oh, this is the like Wisconsin sports bar. I bet there's a, you know, Boston bar in Hollywood.
Right.
And I bet they head on down there. They meet Marky Mark.
Yeah.
And the Mighty Mighty Bostones. And they all watch the Sox.
Yeah.
They all watch the Sox. Come on. Gita sucks.
Yeah.
And then they talk about what it's like to be so beautiful.
It's probably
every member of the Mighty Mighty Bostones is very handsome.
Really? Whoa. I didn't know that.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah. They're gorgeous. And the best part, no drama.
No drama.
Oh, God. I hate drama.
Yeah, you guys hate it.
Jordan hates drama.
Mm-hmm.
I also hate drama, if I'm being frank.
Mm-hmm. I believe you.
If I'm being frank, which I am never less than,
mm-hmm.
I don't care for drama.
Don't need it. Don't want it.
Agreed, guys. I'm on that beam.
Love
don't
cats.
Bring that across my threshold, mm-hmm. Amber Nash.
No way, Jose.
You see now, Amber.
Yes.
You seem like a straight shooter.
I'm actually known for that at home.
Yeah.
I'm straight shooter. You got a question you want to ask me that you want
Wait,
shot straight?
You're a sniper too, right?
I am. I'm a trained sniper.
Boom. Right in the brainstem.
Yep.
Pa-pow!
I do wish that I had an ability like that. Like either that or to be able to sing really well.
Yeah.
Like one of those two things.
Either
else.
Sniping or singing.
Yeah. I feel like it's just like really powerful, both of those things. You're either going to like kill somebody with a bullet or with your talent. Yeah.
What if you could do both, like American Sniper himself?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That was a musical, wasn't it?
American Sniper? No, I think that was a movie starring Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, the legendary sniper singer.
But mm-hmm. it is going to be on Broadway.
Bradley Cooper is not a strong singer. I'm talking about the real life American sniper.
The man it was based on?
Yeah, the man who killed all the other people.
He's a singer?
He's also a beautiful singing voice.
I did not know that.
Beautiful singing voice. A nice, beautiful high tenor.
Huh.
Oh, gorgeous.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah, famous. Don't, if you hear his voice, duck and cover, buddy.
Sure.
Who knows if he's singing or sniping?
You're about to get one right between the shoulder blades.
Could be doing both, my friend.
Wow, a little warning.
Got to watch out for that American sniper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would be a good, like, I could see that as kind of a military thriller, the singing sniper. Ammer, I don't know, maybe this is
a role that I was meant to play.
This could be like a cop rock
thing. People want more female-led action movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what if there's a sniper and you don't hear it coming till you hear it coming? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, you know, you got your bad guy. He's walking through an abandoned church somewhere scenic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just off in the rafters, he hears, hmm. You're humming, Night Moves by Bob Seger.
Night Moves by Bob Seger.
And then once you hear those opening strains of Night Moves,
right,
bam, right between the shoulder blades.
Let me ask you.
That's brilliant.
Let me pitch something.
Does
to
that kill
here.
You between the shoulder blades? Why would a sniper aim for between the shoulder blades?
I think you're shooting
right there.
Shooting to paralyze.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
got it.
Take out that stem.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my pitch for you.
Andrew. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's not just one American sniper. Jordan, I got a different pitch.
I do love that it's Bob Seger.
Jordan, you already did your pitch.
Okay.
I'm trying to do
I'm just humming Night Moves over here.
Jordan, you already had your time to pitch, Amber.
Okay.
Okay, we're never going to see this woman again.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we do see her, she's going to not make eye contact.
That's for sure.
This is our chance, okay, to pitch her a show business project.
And I like that the part of Night Moves that you chose to hum is, like, completely unidentifiable as Night Moves.
It's working on your Night Moves. Excuse me, our Night Moves.
Okay, here's my pitch to
okay.
you.
Yeah.
It's not just one American sniper. It's a platoon of American snipers.
Okay, so it's more of an ensemble piece. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Picture Jordan as a bad guy.
Okay.
He's probably of some kind of foreigner, like a Russian that stole a dirty bomb or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure what a dirty bomb is, but...
Me neither.
I've
just picture
one.
A Russian stealing one, okay?
Okay, okay.
And not one of the good Russians, one of the bad ones.
Okay, got
okay.
it.
Okay. Picture that. He's in an old industrial area.
Yeah.
He's just doing his dirty Russian business.
Working on some Night Moves.
Okay, fine. He's out there working on Night Moves.
No, I mean, the show's called Night Moves.
It's called Night Moves, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a group, though.
Okay.
The group, you hear a pitch pipe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then, in rich, beautiful harmony, Ida Rose, I'm home again, Rose. The rich sounds of a barbershop quartet singing Ida Rose from the hit Broadway musical The Music Man come together like nougat, chocolate, caramel, and nuts in a delicious Snickers bar.
Okay.
Mixing together to form something even more rich and beautiful than the original. Then from all sides, pow, 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 and just a bloody mess on the ground. Jordan has left a sickening bloody mess. There's limbs here. There's parts there.
Mm-hmm.
His head is rolling. Everything is a sort of...
But the head's still humming Night Moves.
Yeah, it's still humming.
Exactly.
It sounds like a blockbuster.
No.
A barn burner.
Yeah.
Let's pitch this.
All right.
You and me, Amber. I got a meeting tomorrow with Brian Grazer.
Here we come, guys. Watch out.
He played Opie, right?
Yeah, that's Opie.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. That's Opie from Laverne and Shirley. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Max Fun Drive break. Hey, can I mention something before we into describing what you get if you go to MaximumFun.org/donate? Hashtag JJGoBigHat, the Jordan, Jesse, Go scholarship for lifelong learning for the person who wears the biggest hat, continuing apace. As you hear this, the deadline for entries will have passed. If you search on Twitter right now for hashtag JJGoBigHat, you will see some of the amazing entries. Next week on Jordan, Jesse, Go, I will be discussing some of the finalists. Brian will have selected and provided to us and the Blue Ribbon Commission the finalists for that contest. Then we will be announcing it on the live Jordan Jesse Go that is the grand finale of the Max Fun Drive on the evening of March 31st.
Exciting stuff. Big hats.
Again, this is much bigger than us. This is about a commitment to lifelong learning. This is about major celebrities such as our mothers, mm-hmm. Gillian Jacobs from Television's Love, Cody, a hat maker I know, mm-hmm. from Willima Hats in Altadena, California, Boots Riley, the revolutionary socialist rapper from the Oakland hip-hop group The Coup. If you've never heard their music, I would recommend Me and Jesus the Pimp, a song that I would say is maybe the only hip-hop song that has ever made me cry.
Mm.
A really beautiful and powerful song that turns out is a metaphor for socialism.
So, yeah. MaximumFun.org /donate.
Yeah.
We got prizes.
Yeah.
$5 a month. That's far less than you pay for your Netflix and your Hulus and your Amazon Primeses.
Yeah.
$5 a month, you get awesome bonus content from all Max Fun shows, including a secret episode we recorded with fan favorite guest Robin Thede.
Yeah,
where we opened up a random phone line and took whatever call came through.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's a fucking blast. Robin, as you know, is the best, and this is a really cool episode that you can only listen to if you donate.
Robin Thede, soon to be the host of All Television.
All
programs.
Television, yes, Sliding in for Ryan Seacrest.
Could you imagine if you were funny and good looking?
No.
Oh, God, that would be amazing.
This is a very cool...
I would
cool...
settle for funny or good looking.
This is a very, very cool episode. And we have, God, how many years of bonus episodes up there?
75 years.
75 years.
There are like 200 hours of bonus content now in the Max Fun donor feed.
So we record a special Max Fun Drive bonus episode. And then throughout the year, we're putting more bonus episodes into that feed. I don't think it's something we talk about enough on the show, but if you are a donor, you're getting extra crazy, weird Jordan Jesse Go shit that we're not putting in the regular feed.
Periodically.
And if you...
no promises.
it'll get crammed in there at a certain point.
We'll cram it in there.
It's a surprise. It's a surprise cramming. If you get on over there to MaximumFun.org/donate, you can get all of those bonus episodes, and every single Max Fun show has bonus episodes.
Every monthly donor gets those.
Yeah, so
single person, a $5 a month donor, yeah, you get all of that, plus the self-satisfaction.
Yeah, ooh, you love that, don't you, you
absolutely.
Smug motherfucker.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's summertime's coming up.
Yeah.
Road trips.
Yeah.
Plane trips.
Yeah.
Boring
boat trips,
dirigible flights,
sure, skateboarding.
You're gonna need shit to listen to on those long trips. How about a butt ton of bonus content?
Fun runs.
$5 a month, $10 a month, get all that shit, plus an exclusive enamel pen designed by Megan Lynn Cott.
Now you can pick any show.
Yes. Every show has an exclusive pin.
Megan has designed these 22 pins or however many shows we have. I should know that. I own the company. However, it is clear to me that the pin that you will choose is the one that Megan has designed. It features a puppy in a tuppy.
It says, "I'm a tuppy on a beautiful ribbon, and it will look great on your clothes or backpack."
You're going to shit yourself when you see this thing.
Handsome pins, bonus content.
This thing's gorge.
Super gorge.
Short for gorgeous.
Any Max Fun show you want, but you should pick ours. $20 a month. Get that pin. You get that bonus content.
Wait, hold on.
Okay.
This is additive?
Yeah. So if you donate, depending on what level
If I give $20 a month, I only get the $20 a month thank you gift.
No,
right?
You get the bonus content. You get the pin, the I'm a Tuppy pin, or whichever one you choose. And then you get the Keep in Touch kit. Jesse, tell
insane.
Us about the Keep in Touch kit. $20 a month.
You get 9 custom note cards plus envelopes in 3 encouraging designs designed by our own Sunny D, Brian Fernandez, the wonderful graphic designer. You get a 4-color rocket-shaped pen. Yeah, that's right. Need to mark up a student's paper? Boom, hit him with red. Need to somebody take you seriously? Pa-pow, hit him with black. Who knows where you're coming from? You want to keep them on their toes? Boom, green.
Hey, you want to smell something? Why don't you smell this rocket-shaped candle that smells like a freshly sharpened pencil?
And friendship and a little bit of wax.
That's true, because it's a candle. This is all in the Max Fun Keep in Touch kit, $20 a month.
There's also a rocket stamp. And if you give $35 a month, you get all of those things that we just listed, plus a pair of rocket engraved beer mugs.
Ooh,
now, what could you put? What can you put in these mugs, Jordan?
Well,
what about a Pilsner?
You could put a Pilsner.
IPA?
IPA.
What if it's hoppy?
Stouts. Sours.
Mm-hmm.
Pilsners.
What about root beers?
Root beers. Cream sodas.
What about premium root beers?
Waters.
Yep.
All that.
What about a sparkling water?
You can put a sparkling water in there. This mug holds liquid.
Alkaline water if you're dehydrated?
Oh, sure.
Let's say you've got dysentery.
Yeah, you got to get electrolytes.
Yep.
Got to get them. Max Fun beer mugs, very handsome. Rocket Ship logo, $35 a month. You get those. You get the Keep in Touch kit. You get the pin. You get the bonus content.
You hit it up to the century mark? I think that's...
$100 a month?
Isn't that... that's Jesse's Golden Eagles, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's right. You get the Inner Circle, which is... Have you picked something out for the Inner Circle before?
I've picked a couple things out for the Inner Circle. This is a very fun thing that Max Fun does, where a Max Fun host picks one of their favorite things to mail you each month. So each month you get a book, you get a DVD, comics, something cool that a Max Fun host is into, and something that I think you would be into too.
And it's $200 a month. You get all of that stuff plus free registration for Max FunCon 2018. It is a really remarkable array of stuff. However, I want to highlight one thing here, Jordan.
Please do.
That is this. Whether you're getting an enamel pin, whether you're getting bonus content, whether you're getting a Keep in Touch kit, whether you're getting mugs, mm-hmm. whether you're getting stuff in the mail from John Hodgman, whatever it is, okay, that's all poppycock
mm-hmm.
compared to the real thing that you're getting,
mm-hmm.
which is the self-satisfaction, the warmth in your heart every time you listen to this show and every other Max Fun show, and you say to yourself, hey, I'm the reason that exists.
Yeah.
I'm not some deadbeat loafer. I'm a stand-up citizen.
Right.
I'm the kind of person who puts my money where my mouth is.
I've got a little cash and I can put it down for stuff I like. I'm not a freeloader.
I'm the kind of person who's going to throw a dollar down on the bar after I get my whiskey sour.
Of course. Because you're not a deadbeat and you know that that bartender worked hard on that drink.
And my whiskey...
Throw him a buck.
And my whiskey sour is free, too.
Yeah.
And the whiskey sour is entertainment and information.
Sure. I think this is holding up.
Yeah. This is a perfect metaphor that I have not tortured beyond
no
sensicality.
Yeah. So definitely, like, if you want to tip your podcasters a buck a show, we would really, really appreciate it. And, you know, maybe think about doing a little extra because the world is full of I don't tip assholes, which I love to hear about during this time of year. Ooh, I love it. Oh,
I love hearing.
Thank you.
I love hearing from those folks all the time because Oof. What I love is I'll be thinking like, man, my adherence to the social conventions of society, the fact that I allow others in part to determine my behavior so that together we could be a stronger and bigger mm-hmm. thing than we would be alone. You know, so that we could group together to hunt
sure.
or gather or create agriculture, it is so worthless in the face of their superior logic. The fact that they have developed a system that is logical. And you know what I do when somebody says to me about why I'm wrong about following social convention and they're right because it's more logical, you know what I usually like to do? First of all, I thank them. Second of all, I fillet them or give them a quick HJ.
Sure.
Third of all, I lift them up on my shoulders, for they are my rational kings.
Yeah. So, hey, if you got yourself a job,
yeah,
definitely go over there to MaximumFun.org/donate. A lot of good people here at Max Fun who rely on your donations to have a job. And, yeah, definitely do it because the world is full of I don't tip assholes.
The world
is just fucking full of them.
I also want to mention Daniel Baruela running mm-hmm. the boards on this week's program, known as Dan sometimes, Danny
mm-hmm.
to friends, will be fired if you don't go to MaximumFun.org/.
Sure.
He relies on you literally
yes.
for his food every day.
Mm.
His poor girlfriend would die I mean, he would die first, and he'd encourage her to eat him
sure.
after he had died.
Yeah.
In a kind of grotesque,
just to stay alive for a brief
mountain,
a brief moment more.
Plane crash scenario.
Yeah. So, MaximumFun.org/donate. We don't want to resort to cannibalism.
That's the last thing.
I don't
we want.
Need that.
Okay, let's get back to Jordan Jesse Go and our pal Amber Nash. La 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the voice of the millennial generation.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amber Nash, fun time gal.
She sure is. You bet your buttons Amber Nash is a fun time gal. Also with us, joining us, a special surprise exclusive guest.
Wait, hold on. Amber, I don't... Now listen.
Yeah.
We've just met.
Okay.
It's perhaps too early in our relationship for me to make this sort of remark.
Okay.
It might even be too early to describe it as a relationship.
Sure. Your nickname sounds a little bit like it would be World War II slang for a prostitute.
That's what I was going for.
Oh, well, then mission accomplished.
We also have a special guest here. Once in a while, we like to bring in a surprise special guest for the Momentous Occasion segment. Mm. And we've got a special guest visiting us from over 5,000 miles away, roughly 6,000.
A lot of miles.
It's a lot of miles.
Her name, Sarah Morgan, beloved guest on this program, comedy writer, performer. A longtime head writer of International Waters on this very network. And later this evening, we'll be holding her friend's baby while her friend does a Q&A at the premiere of her film.
Yeah. Hello. Ahoy, hoy. Yeah, my friend Alice Lowe, her film Prevenge. Go and see it, America.
Yeah, there you go. Good work. You got your plugs in, Sarah. It's nice to see you. Thank
nice
you for joining
you.
Us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you finding America on this visit?
Very exciting. Thank you for my friend Jordan Morris sending me an email going, you know, we've got Amber Nash, Pam from Archer on the show, and I got on a plane. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
I am a harmless enthusiast.
Yay!
I will confess, and this is going to embarrass my friend Sarah Morgan.
Oh, Christ.
But the first time that I met
your flies down.
The first time that I met my friend Sarah Morgan in real life.
Mm-hmm. IRL.
IRL. She was wearing a T-shirt of Pam from Archer.
That is the best thing I've ever heard.
And I will take this opportunity to say I noticed it not only because it's my favorite character on my favorite show, but also because
my breasts. Oh,
my wife has the same T-shirt.
Oh, okay, sorry. Rewind.
So a lot of fans in here couldn't let the opportunity pass.
No,
Sarah
thank
Morgan
you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So much fun.
Yeah. Amber, do you have Pam merch yourself?
I do. And people are like, why don't you wear it? And I'm like, because I'd be the biggest douchebag in the world. So I was like, hey, guys, check this out. This is what I do for a living. So I get really cool stuff. And then I'm like, I usually just give it away or like I'll do like a Twitter thing and give something away to people. And you know, and then I keep some for when I'm old and I don't have any jobs after this one. And I'm like, remember when I was Pam? Yeah.
All right, Grandma.
What's your favorite thing about being Pam?
Oh, my God. It's working. I think it's my favorite thing.
Okay, sure.
Not
doing dinner theater. But honestly, I think it's getting to play that character. Like, after like the second season, I was like, man, I got the best fucking character on the show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really lucky. Yeah. And Adam, who writes all the episodes, who's the creator of the show, like, really has given me some gems over the years and really started to write the character in new and interesting ways, and it's just awesome.
I think I know the answer to my own question.
Okay.
But when you are out and about and you meet an Archer fan, what do they want? Do they try and make you say stuff in the voice, and what do they want you to say? I think I know what the answer is.
They usually just ask me to say something, and I have a go-to.
Yeah.
And it's holy shit snacks, because
that's her
catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's usually what happens.
This is a lot of fun learning about Pam.
I know. I'm so excited about it.
Me too.
Yes!
Me too.
I'm so excited about it. Is it weird to have a crush on Pam? Not that I do.
I get a lot of that online, man.
Oh,
people
boy.
Are like,
oh, I bet you get some art. Oh, there's like, boy.
There's like 2 seconds in the trailer for the next season where Pam's wearing a suit for like 2 seconds, and I was the most excited I've ever been. That's how big my Pam crush is.
Wait, it's going to be such a fun season. It's such a fun season. We already recorded all the episodes, and it's so crazy. But just today, I was reading a tweet from a guy that was like,
So who would you bone first, Amber Nash or Pam?
And I was just like, that's so gross.
First of all, thank you for tagging me in that. Thank you for putting my handle in your weird sex tweet.
So it's people are weird. Really weird. But I don't think it's weird. I think, like, what I love about Pam is she's such a, like, body positive, sex positive. Like, she doesn't give a shit about what anybody thinks.
Sure.
And so she's just like, of course that's attractive.
She's proud of her Yakuza tattoos.
Yes. She's like so, she's, all she is confidence. It's awesome.
I will say this. Again, I'm not saying that I have a crush on Pam, but I kind of do. And I find it distressing. I'm like, that's a cartoon character that I kind of have a crush on. That doesn't seem appropriate to me.
Sure.
I guess I'm a millennial. I should be more comfortable with having romantic feelings toward cartoon characters. It's where we're all headed anyway.
Mm-hmm. Body pillows and cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's some sexy Pam cosplay out there, too.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. I always like it when you see a cosplay group that's like all the Archers.
Yeah.
It's always like really
it's
cool
pretty
and
fun.
Satisfying.
Pretty anyway. Fun.
Well, when something momentous happens to you, like you see all the Archers, we ask you to give us a call at 206-984-4FUN for our segment Momentous Occasions. That number, once again, so you can put it in your telephone, 206-984-4FUN. Here's our first call.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse. This is Wild calling from Brooklyn, New York, from Sunset Park. I just saw a dog flying a kite, which is pretty dope. Just wanted to let you know that this dog was pretty awesome. And I love the show. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you very much.
I like the way he told you. Like, how nice. He just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
The dog was awesome.
Oh, boy. Thank you. Because I was wondering, can a dog fly a kite?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Fly a kite?
Did it want to be flying a kite?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it gets a treat at the end. I mean, it certainly doesn't naturally want to fly a kite. But maybe it's been conditioned
now,
to
Now, hold
enjoy.
On. You're saying that now you don't have dogs. You've got a cat.
That's true.
I have two dogs.
Oh, maybe I...
Coco and Sissy would love to fly a kite.
Really? Yeah. My dog would be like, why am I doing this?
Well,
please
dog,
don't put me on Instagram.
Your dog lacks a sense of nature's majesty.
That is very true.
Because one of the things about flying a kite is it really helps you appreciate, I guess, wind.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'd be a little afraid that the dog, because dogs are generally smaller than humans, so it could get picked up and swept away depending on how windy it is.
Oh, boy, yeah, that's a concern.
Yeah.
If you got a high-powered kite, like a high-performance kite.
My kid's got a whole book about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dog that has got a kite, flies into the air. All of a sudden, it's all over everywhere. This dog's going to Africa. This dog's going to the North Pole. He's talking to penguins. This dog is going wild.
Well, it worked out in that instance.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like in general it'd be kind of dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jordan. Works out for that dog. Dog gets a great world tour. Ends up, coincidentally, back at his old abode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic, his own home.
Mm-hmm.
Kite falls on the ground. Guess who's checking it out at the end of the book? Yeah, that's
Samuel
right.
Samuel L. Jackson.
That's right. Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
Wow.
Yeah, it is amazing. It is truly amazing. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you, Samuel L. Jackson will do anything for $1 million.
Yeah.
He'll take any role. He's willing to take any role. What animal, I'm going to throw this out to the group, sure. McLaughlin group
would
style.
I like to tie a kite to? A snake.
What animal, wild or domesticated, and I'm excluding humans because if you ask me, humans are animals too.
Right.
But that was, I have this little fragment of a children's song in my head that I don't know if it was like a Sesame Street thing or if it's just something my mom sang, but it's people are animals, animals too. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
It's haunting.
Is that the Sex Pistols?
Yeah. Oh, I think it is. Yeah. My mom played me a lot of like classic punk vinyl.
Is that what your mom sang you to explain to you the concept of war?
All right. I'm like, Mommy, I'm confused by Operation Desert Shield.
Why is Norman Schwarzkopf storming?
Well, people are animals. Animals too.
Ah.
And I'm like, oh, that's right. We all have a beast inside us.
The question is, if you could pick one animal most likely to fly a kite.
Oh.
Wait, now, because Jordan says dog wouldn't fly a kite. Amber says she doesn't think her dog would fly a kite. I say my dogs would love to fly a kite. Sarah hasn't weighed in.
Yeah,
but let's talk about other animals.
My cat would ruin a kite's life. Yeah. My cat would have no truck with a kite whatsoever. So,
Jordan, I'm going to go to you first.
Kite fish.
A kite fish.
Mm-hmm.
He would sense the assonance in his name.
Right.
And that they have a certain kinship.
Sure.
Not just linguistic, but, you know, it's not called a kite fish for nothing.
Yeah. I don't think there's such a thing as a kite fish.
Is there? I don't know.
Are you thinking of a skate?
That was the joke I was making. The joke I was making is that it would be this fake fish that has kite in its name.
I think I've probably been watching too much Octonauts lately and just assume that anything anyone says is the name of a real fish.
Anyway, that was my joke, is that there's a kite fish. It doesn't exist, but of course that would be the animal.
My daughter gave a
jokes
really
work best when you explain them.
Intense. My daughter gave a really intense lecture to another elementary school parent on the subject of monarch butterflies while I was trying to get her to get in the car this morning. So
just get in the car.
Yeah, just get in the car. They go to Mexico to die?
Mm.
Oh.
That's what she told this mom. The mom was like, everything dies.
Sure. My mom's first time confronting
that news
death.
To her. Yeah. Okay, Sarah Morgan.
Yes.
Sarah Morgan, what? Television writer. Film and
famous
television
for
writer.
On our feet, television writers, yeah.
What animal is most likely to fly a kite?
Do you want to go out and have a cigarette? Think about this first.
Yeah, give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone can punch us up. Let's go. I'm going to go. Well, hang on. If I can just make, what about a flying squirrel? Because then they could go behind it and they'd be kind of an aquaplaning
kind of thing. They're very kite-like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I've got nothing.
That's a
pretty solid piece of business.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think there's a good answer to this.
Yeah. Other than that, it's tying a kite to a thing and watching it float, like an Up, which is delightful.
Yeah.
Amber, you're a professional improviser. You probably got a funny answer to this.
Oh, yeah.
This impossible question.
Quid pro quo, Jesse. What would you like to say?
Bear.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh,
well, I like to stand on their back feet.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. You know, I'm going opposite a little bit and thinking like, you know, something. Yours was a fish. What was yours again? Sorry.
A flying squirrel. But
a flying squirrel. So they're already in the air. So these, and a kite fish, he can fly, right?
Yeah.
So we're thinking about things that already
fish.
Can fly.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe somebody that really needs it, like a mole.
Yeah.
Like who's maybe never seen the surface.
And when you say he really needs it, you mean for like emotional reasons.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, another day of being a mole.
His mole wife is busting his balls all the time.
Sure,
Just digging with these giant claws.
Yeah. She's fucking that groundhog behind his back.
Oh! Yeah.
He kind of knows. He suspects.
That's classic mole drama.
Yeah.
You know what he needs? No drama mama, baby.
No drama mama.
Yeah.
Perhaps try the Bahamas.
Yeah. We got another call. Let's hear it.
So, my name is Tom, and I was just driving on the freeway here in Michigan where I live, and a white Camaro came flying up behind me. I was in the passing lane, and it stayed on my tail for a little while before whipping around to my right, passing me, and I look over, and my eyes locked with the driver of the white Camaro, and it was Kid Rock.
Whoa. No way.
To flip me off before speeding off into the sunset. And the best part of the entire encounter was he had a tremendously white, fuzzy steering wheel cover and was wearing some kind of fur as well. Enjoy that image. All right. Love the show, guys.
I'm changing my answer from Bear to Kid Rock.
Wow, that was a good call.
Brilliant. And imagine, like, what a day maker.
I know.
And, you know, obviously it stirs up emotions when you get flipped off on the road.
Right.
But I think when it's Kid Rock, that's just him, like, waving to get over.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the way that he described the look of him, it's like he's in this white Camaro. He's got a white steering wheel. He's wearing a fur coat. It's like he came from heaven.
The ghost of Kid Rock.
Yeah. He came from Camaro heaven.
So brilliant.
I like how on brand that is for Kid Rock. You
I
know,
really
he's
like
sticking
it, too.
To it.
And he's from Detroit, right? Is that right? Yes. This guy's in Michigan, so it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Tearing ass down the Detroit highway, flipping people off in his white Camaro. Wow.
The highway to heaven runs through Detroit, my friend.
I've heard that. I've heard that.
You know, in Camaro heaven, they have unlimited pre-mixed cocktails and cans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Get a nice cold G&T.
Yeah.
Nice. It sounded like one of those Bill Murray encounters. You know, like, no one will believe you. Everyone will believe you, Kid Rock. Everyone.
Yes, this is what we expected you to be doing.
Yeah, what else have you got to do? Yeah.
It's like, Bill Murray joined my dodgeball game? Okay, that's pretty crazy. Kid Rock flipped me off in his Camaro. Sure, I would have assumed.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't know this. Kid Rock is an actor now. He's a bit of a method actor, and I think he was preparing to audition for a role as Kid Rock.
Or the lead singer of Whitesnake.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You could also do that.
I would watch that TV movie, Kid Rock plays the lead singer of Whitesnake.
Yes. I actually have a similar story to this.
Please.
Really? Yes.
I was sitting in Atlanta traffic one time, and but this person wasn't irate or didn't flip me off. But I was stuck behind this, like, kind of a jalopy vehicle. And I needed to go around, and I went around this car. There was pretty stop-and-go traffic, and I looked at the person in the driver's seat, and it was Gary Coleman.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was sure you were going to say Wolf Blitzer. 100%.
Who are the, like, Atlanta local celebs?
Gosh. You know, people would think that it'd be like the Real Housewives, but I've never seen one of them ever because they live in like the rich part of town, which is like not where everybody else lives because it sucks.
What are we talking about? A Ludacris?
You know, I've seen Usher several times.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and he's awesome. He like when I saw him, I was at like a Moe's getting a burrito, and I go out and he's in his like Escalade or whatever, and a guy he stood in line with the rest of us waiting for his burrito.
What is a Moe's?
A Moe's is like a Willy's. Do you have Willy's?
No.
It's a chain like a Chipotle.
We call it Best Chipotle. Food. Yeah. Mayonnaise. Yeah.
It's just like
a fast make food. Your own burrito.
Yeah,
place.
Burrito place. And the guy, a guy that was inside came out and like flagged him down and he like totally pulled over and like signed some autographs and gave them to the guy. And then the other time I saw him, he was dropping his mom off at the movie theater. He just seems like a cool dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Sarah, who are your local celebrities?
In London?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't have many. the Queen.
The Queen, yeah.
That's a good one.
The Queen's husband.
Okay.
Other people who know the Queen?
Yeah.
Oh, and I live in Tottenham, so Adele, obviously.
Oh, okay, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, local girl.
But you don't have Ricky Gervais anymore. That's the top celebrity in all of England.
Yeah, sure.
Did
you
know this? I'm going to give you guys a quick fact about Ricky Gervais.
He's such a closed book. I'm just going to be thrilled to learn anything at all about the man.
A lot of people think that Ricky Gervais is a pious man, but in fact—
That's what I assumed.
He doesn't believe in God. You wouldn't know this. You wouldn't know this.
Wow.
You know, assuming that you had never seen him appear on a television talk program or seen his Twitter feed or any interview with him, you would not know that he does not believe in God. Mm-hmm. It turns out this guy is a straight-up atheist.
He invented not believing in God. He did that film, The Invention of Not Believing in God. It was, what the fuck? This guy doesn't believe in God?
A lot of people think that Ricky Gervais can't become president because he wasn't born in the United States. It's actually because we're never going to elect a dirty atheist like Ricky Gervais.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Fun facts about England's top celebrity, Ricky Gervais, from television's...
Derek.
Derek himself.
Well, Sarah Morgan, thank you for joining us for Momentous Occasions.
I'm so glad I won this contest. Thank you.
Sarah, the next time you're...
Thank you for sitting in all those cereal box tops.
I know.
The next time you're in America and you and Jordan... I guess I'm just asking, the next time that you guys are... The next time Elvira is doing a show and you guys are in America
You know
together,
I always come to America for Halloween.
And then you guys are going... I know I have a family, and sometimes it's hard for me.
You were in
and I know
Hawaii
that I'm
the last
not as,
time.
I know that I'm not as cool as Jordan, and I know that you guys are both television writers. I'm just a dumb old public radio host. But I was wondering if next time I could go to Knott's Berry Farm.
Not Scary Farm.
And Elvira doesn't show up at Knott's Berry Farm. Which is very close to Pirates, a dinner adventure.
I got to go to both of those places while I'm here.
Yeah, you
got to. I'm sure I'll be back in November.
Yes!
We can go to Not Scary Farm.
Thank you, Sarah Morgan.
I'm going to go.
We'll be back in just a second. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Now, we've appealed to your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We've appealed to your minds. We've appealed to your nether regions.
Sure.
Now it's time to appeal to something else.
What's that, Jesse?
I probably should have thought of that before I went into that riff.
So, okay, we've been talking about MaximumFun.org stuff. Here's, you know, kind of how MaxFun works. It works because people donate.
Yeah.
Things people can get when they donate.
An embarrassment
which are awesome
of
things,
riches.
An awesome things, by the way.
Variety of things.
So you get stuff. You get to keep the lights on. You keep make sure this cool content keeps coming. So what else?
Well, you get fellowship.
Hey.
You know, Maximum Fun donors aren't just a group of disconnected persons all around the globe. They're pals in real life.
Yeah, we're having Max Fun meetups all over, certainly America. I don't know. Can we say the world?
Yeah, I think we've already got some international ones coming.
That's awesome. So, yeah, if you want to hang out, meet some other Max Fun fans during the Max Fun drive, you can head over to MaximumFun.org and find a meetup in your area.
Yeah, it's MaximumFun.org/meetups2017. Everything is going down Tuesday, March 28th at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. wherever you are.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about
staggered.
Talking about Topeka.
Sure.
Talking about Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about
Billings, Montana.
Medicine Hat.
Yeah.
Talking about Shapoopy.
All that stuff.
The girl is hard to get.
These are just songs from The Music Man.
Yeah, at this point, I'm just naming songs from The Music Man. Talking about Marion the Librarian.
If you live in an actual place,
River
it's not
City.
Just a song from The Music Man.
Live in River City.
Go on over to MaximumFun.org/meetups2017. Find a meetup in your area and come hang out on the 28th, March 28th, 7 o'clock. It'll be a shit ton of fun.
And I want to thank also everyone who goes on Twitter, who goes on Facebook, who goes in real life, shames their friends.
Yeah, do it.
And brags about supporting the Max Fun Drive. You will notice during the Max Fun Drive, my Twitter feed is basically a river of folks who are bragging about supporting MaximumFun.org. And it's because when I see that, it is amazing to me. Like, I've been doing... Jordan and I started doing The Sound of Young America in 2000.
Yeah.
The year 2000. That's 18 years ago.
The country was far more innocent than it is now.
Yeah, we had just elected our greatest president, George W. Bush.
Who would go on to be our greatest painter.
Exactly. And our greatest fighter, our greatest boxer.
Sure.
No holds barred fighter as well.
Right, sure. Cage,
I mean, I think, cage, yeah, he does cage
bar
fighting.
Room. Yeah.
Bar room.
Ballroom.
Ballroom blitzing.
Yeah.
Certainly. It's been known to blitz a ballroom,
yeah.
Too. And, you know, 18 years ago, I mean, can you imagine that 15,000, 20,000 people would support MaximumFun.org?
Yeah, it would have been a crazy thought at the time.
Granted, we had not yet registered MaximumFun.org.
That's true. No, it was a gleam in your eye.
Yeah, but like it is amazing to me that we have had this career in media and we don't work for Slim Jims.
Yeah.
You know, we don't work for the latest movie studios, the movies that are coming out, and we got to tell you how much we loved them even if we didn't.
Sure.
We're completely independent, and we for real work for you.
Yeah, you are totally our bosses, and definitely the thing that gets me to the studio, you know, on those weeks when I'm super fucking busy or, you know, the last thing in the world I want to do is drive across town at the end of a long day is like, oh, I have these bosses that'll be fucking pissed if we don't put out an episode.
But we'll also be, and this is the thing that I love about Max Fun Drive Time, is like, I think the thing that we get more, you know, you would think that when you say this, when you're asking for help and you're telling people, oh, please support us and whatever, you'd think that what would happen is people would see it as an opportunity to tell you what they don't like about you.
Sure.
Right? An opportunity to boss you around or whatever, right? Opportunity to say, yeah, fix this, fix that. I'm your boss. Nah, nah, nah. What actually happens is these are the 12 days when I hear from the most people about what our work means to them. And it absolutely, you know, it jets to my core.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it burns me right through the veins to the center of my being. It's absolutely amazing. And yeah, I'm so grateful for it. Like, I really am. You know, the idea of folks throwing us a couple bucks and saying to us, you know, "You're a dumb fucking show," got me through a tough time or a bad breakup, or "Your show is what keeps me pumping iron at the gym," or you know, "Your show is what gets me through my 12-hour days at the holidays when I'm delivering packages," or, you know, "Your show is, you know, when I moved to Korea to teach English, I never made another friend, but you guys were my English speaking friends until finally my indentured servitude was over." Like, all these amazing things that people tell us about what our weird, dumb show means to them. It's my favorite time of the year for that reason.
Totally, yeah. Definitely everybody who does a show loves hearing from people who like that show, because sometimes it feels like you're just talking into a void. And definitely when people say that they like the show and when they donate to support it, it's an awesome feeling, because definitely this does sometimes feel like we're just chatting to ourselves and it goes out and nobody cares. And yeah, it's like always great to be reminded year after year that people are listening, they like it, and yeah, it's something that they think deserves money.
Yeah. So go to MaximumFun.org/donate if you like the show. If you're new to the show, I want to give the standard proviso we mm-hmm. give every year. If you're sure. unemployed, you are not required to donate, and you should not feel bad about it. If you do not have a job, whether it's because you're too young to work, if you're too young to work, you're too young to listen to this program, let's
sure.
be honest.
Yeah.
Plus, I think kids should work.
Yeah.
Kids have been too lazy
get
for too
long. Get in the
mine. What do you want, a participation award?
Yeah, come on. I'll Snapchat one to you, Jesus Christ.
If you're not working, we won't guilt trip you. In fact, you are welcome to enjoy the show for free. If you're new to this show, maybe you didn't even realize it was donor supported. But we are so grateful for everybody who stands up and steps up, and it's easy. So just go to MaximumFun.org/donate. You can do it on your phone, you can do it on your computer when you get to work. You know, it takes 2 minutes, and then for the rest of your life you will know that you're one of the people who makes it happen and not one of the people who saw the opportunity and shirked it.
Mm-hmm.
No shirkers.
MaximumFun.org/donate. Cool stuff. A butt ton of bonus content.
Yeah.
And all kinds of cool stuff. MaximumFun.org/donate. We appreciate it.
Go take a look at those pins. There's a picture of that fucking pin.
Yeah.
Ooh,
look at
that Tuppy's pin is so good.
It's a nice, nice pin.
Ooh, I got to get that Tuppy's pin.
You gotta.
Put that on your Girl Scout sash.
Sure.
Sell double the cookies.
Yeah, increase your cookie sales. Go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Amber Nash, a good time gal.
Amber Nash, yeah. I can't even begin to dig deep enough into my heart
okay.
to express to you my gratitude that you came and wasted such a significant portion of your life with us. It means so much. And not only that, you brought a publicist who we forced to sit through this nightmare.
Yeah.
She's just taken her headphones off because she had to go to the bathroom or something. But now they're back on.
Thank you.
So grateful that you wasted her time as well.
You know, that's how I like to do it. I've done a lot of weird podcasts where I go to weird places and people are like, "I make a podcast in this place." And I'm like, "This seems suspect."
Mm-hmm. Is a net going to come down on me?
Exactly.
Yeah. You're just like, "Huh, what is this strange coliseum?" And then someone hands you a net and a trident and pushes you onto some
sure.
sand.
That's right. That's right. So this was, you know, it was a refreshing new start. For Aww. Podcasting.
It's fantastic.
We're not all bad.
No.
Not all podcasters.
Yeah. It's like improvisers. You just got to find the good ones.
Yeah. Most are bad.
Yeah.
Most are very bad.
Got to dig through and find the good ones.
Sure.
Amber, what do you got on the horizon? We got big events coming up for the season, whatever number we're on, five?
Eight.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Season eight. Lot.
I was watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia the mm-hmm. other day. Mm-hmm. Somehow better than ever, by the way, so Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And it was like season 74, and I realized that I'm going to die soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the lesson that I took from that. Season 8 of Archer.
That's right.
The premiere is coming up in April, right?
April 5th.
April number 5.
Yes.
I'm not going to miss that, Jordan. You're going to miss that?
No fucking way.
Sweet. It really is. I want to say very sincerely, Jordan Jesse Go listeners, sincerely my favorite television program.
That's awesome.
It's the best. It's the funniest thing on TV.
I really appreciate that because I also feel like I'm lucky that I get to be on that show because if I wasn't on it, I'd watch it anyway.
Yeah.
You know? It's a good show.
Yeah. It's a fantastic show. And we're so grateful that you took the time to come and be here with us.
I had a blast. You guys are big, dumb knuckleheads, and it's really fun.
It's true.
Oh, it's true. I love pounding those nerds.
Yeah.
Ooh, I get them by the collar, throw them up against the locker. I say, hey, Poindexter, yeah. How about a knuckle sandwich?
I'm so tough, like a daddy. I'm just a real daddy.
Oh, I'm a big leather daddy, and I'm going to pound you. That's how tough I am.
Yeah.
I got a real Mask Musk situation going on.
Yes. And you know, Archer is, you know, sometimes you see a show.
Yep.
And you're like, this thing's got great writing. Or sometimes you watch a show and you're like, this thing has great performances. Mm. Archer is so fucking good because both of those things are so fucking good.
Yeah.
It is. You guys are the funniest cartoon voices in the biz. Saying the funniest jokes in the biz.
Yeah.
It's the best show.
Wow, thanks. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
That's a sincere truth. I'm a fucking professional culture critic.
Yeah.
It's my job to be straight with people.
Cool.
If I tell people go see MacGruber, you better go see MacGruber. Mm-hmm. Fucking MacGruber's great.
Sure.
And Archer's my favorite shit.
Sweet.
Everybody knows. Just like everybody knows, my only career ambition is to play Professor Harold Hill in The Music Man. I'm willing to come to Atlanta. Make some calls on my behalf, please.
I will. Amber. I can probably get this hooked up before I leave here today.
I'm on NPR in Atlanta now.
You are?
Yeah, they picked me up recently, so I'm a major celebrity.
Well, then I will be hearing your voice because that's literally all I listen to when I'm in the car.
I'll get Wolf Blitzer mm-hmm. on the line.
Okay.
We'll go down there. We'll sing Ida Rose.
Yeah.
They'll be wowed.
Yeah.
At that Dancing with the Murder and Stars.
Yeah.
Was it Dancing and Killing with
Dancing
the Stars?
Dancing and Dying with the stars. Stars.
Got it. Amber Nash.
Starring Jason Hamburger and Fries?
No.
Tom Hamburger and Fries. Tom Burger and Fries. Okay, yeah.
It starts Berger on.
Yeah.
Tom Burger and fries.
It helps to say it fast.
What's weird is they serve Chinese food at the dinner theater, yeah. So it didn't even really... should have been something about chow mein. I couldn't tell you. And in conclusion, it's Max Fun Drive. MaximumFun.org/donate. Everybody out there, we are so grateful to everybody who supports us during the Max Fun Drive. It means so much to us. We're going to get to that 10,000 goal and maybe take a ride in a blimp.
Maybe.
That's an idea I came up with.
Okay.
Should we talk? We'll talk about that next week.
That'd be great.
I was thinking maybe we'd do the show in a blimp.
Okay.
Because I heard a guy emailed me our slogan for the year.
Yeah.
We're wrapping up the show here. But our slogan for the year is Let's Punch a Blimp.
Yeah.
It conveys the spirit of energetic defiance.
Yeah.
And excitement with which we face down 2017.
Great.
And it's also about community.
Mm-hmm.
It's about coming together to punch the blimp.
Yeah.
You know, they put this on shop where my little antique store online. A guy bought something from us, and he put a note, thank you so much. I always appreciate everything you do here, and I'm a big Jordan Jesse Go listener, and I just want to let you know, last week I punched the Goodyear blimp.
Not bad. That's the blimp.
That's the blimp
that
to punch.
That is the blimp.
I don't know. There's the MetLife blimp.
Oh, yeah. It's also – you know, and again
– Snoopy can suck it.
But what blimp is your key blimp might be more of a regional thing.
Could
so
be.
It could be the Goodyear blimp we're more familiar with out here, but maybe there in the
what
south.
What about that Fujifilm
good
blimp?
Good point.
I've never seen this blimp.
I think there's a Fujifilm blimp.
Yeah.
That might not be true.
Take a shot at that asshole.
Daniel,
you're at it.
Daniel's behind your shoulder running the boards today gave a look like I had just suggested that fucking that fucking Jughead from Archie and Veronica was the president of the United States when I said there was a Fujifilm blimp. He gave a look like I had just said that my favorite pet was hungry lions. Is there a blimp? There's a Fujifilm blimp. Thank you very much. And on that note, and by saying MaximumFun.org/donate, our thank you, of course, to Daniel Baruela filling in this week for Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, our ordinary producer. Brian's off making television programs. You can comment on the show at MaximumFun.reddit.com or by hashtagging it JJGo on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. What are you, Amber?
I'm at Amber C. Nash.
She doesn't need you. She's already got 75,000 followers. She's not sweating it, but, you know, go over there, see what Amber has to say. It's probably something fun.
Probably fun.
Let's be honest. She's a good time gal.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And join us on Facebook as well. And thanks to everybody who's donated. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.